This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin. We got Brian Broaddus with us right now.
What?
Hey, Sterling sticking around, and we also have Rico making sure all the Gators get taken care of.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Because there are plenty of Gators to be had. Now, 877-881-1053, we always open it up whenever Broaddus comes in studio. You have him for an hour. So if you want to know something about the Cowboys, about boiling crawfish, about the NFL, or the behind the scenes, that's one of the things I love the most about having Broaddus on is the behind the scenes stuff that goes on whenever you got to, you know, what are these guys thinking? What's the front office doing? And Kevin, I do want to kind of start off with the question we asked earlier about a potential trade. The trade deadline, Broaddus, is October 29th.
Gotcha.
It's at the end of the month.
Gotcha.
I feel that right now is the time where you got to start saying, okay, let's assess this team. Is it good enough? Do we need to add to it? And what move can we make before that trade deadline? Would you make a move at all if you're this team?
You got another Amari Cooper in mind somewhere?
We do have a couple people in mind.
Who do you got in mind? Give me some names.
Jamal Adams and Geno Atkins.
Jamal Adams is the Jets safety.
Absolutely. No, I've looked 26. At yeah, No, an LSU, proud LSU alum, by the way.
Hebron, too. He's a local boy.
Hebron, absolutely. Geno Atkins. You know, to me, you're trying to bring some physicality to your defense. I see what you're doing with Adams, plus a guy that can play all over the place. I've been watching him on tape. He can cover in the slot. You know, the way he plays with range on the back end, he's a fierce hitter. Good tackler.
I just hate seeing Jeff Heath get, and I know it has to do with who's in front of him, but I hate seeing him get blocked out of plays.
Well, he, you know, it's Jeff Heath is, it's interesting because to me, I understand what everybody's trying to do to Jeff Heath. He's the one guy, you know, he's the one guy that everybody kind of piles on.
Yeah.
You know, he's just the easy guy to say, well, he stinks and this, that, and the other. I mean, there's times when you watch the tape and Jeff Heath is right where he needs to be. You know, maybe the ball doesn't go his direction, but he's in coverage. I just always think about the plays that he made, that play, you know, save the Raider game with Derek Carr scrambling hard to his right, running to the pylon. What happens? Jeff Heath knocks him out of bounds. Then I think about the fourth down stop he made on Zach Ertz last year in the Philadelphia game in Philadelphia to get Dallas the ball back. Yeah, I understand people don't like him. You know, they're tired of him. I understand. But I
feel like there may be a better playmaker.
Well,
they can also
clearly,
make those plays too.
They had like 12 safeties on the board last year when they drafted this. You know. So I mean, that really kind of tells you. Now, I think you have to look at in maybe a little bit in the future here with Donovan Wilson from Texas A&M and what he was able to do. You know, I think that if Donovan Wilson didn't get nicked up, you know, at the start of the season, you know, maybe he would have got more opportunity to play. You know, coaches always like to go with guys they know. And you guys are tired of hearing me say that, but it's true. Coaches will always play, you know, they know what Jeff Heath is. You know, Joe in Flower Mound really doesn't care for Jeff Heath. And I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, but I do understand what he brings on a certain level.
Okay.
You know,
does he have limitations?
He absolutely has limitations. Everyone on that defense, you saw Leighton Vander Esch has limitations last week. You know, I mean, there's players on this defense. And, you know, and hey, Brian Broaddus has big shoulders. I'll take some heat for saying, hey, this linebacking core is this. This defensive tackle group is this. You know, this safety group is this. You know, I feel like coming out of camp, you know, if you watched Malik Collins play against Zach Martin every day like I did for 30 days, you know, you would think, my gosh, if he's beating up, you know, Zach Martin like that, what's he going to do to some, you know, what's he going to do to a bad or a guy is just a good guard?
Yeah, he wasn't there on this past Sunday.
Well, no, but you know what's funny? If you go the week before and you watch the way that defense played against the Saints, and I know Teddy Bridgewater's playing quarterback, but overall, the way they played, they deserved to win that game the way they played defensively. They really did. You know, they did it. You know, you could say, well, the Saints kept the ball. They couldn't get off the field. Well, heck, you know, they gave the ball to the offense. with a minute something left in the game. Yeah, no timeouts, but okay, go find a way to win a game. You bet, the offense didn't move the ball. It couldn't run the ball. An offensive line that we all talk about, that Brian Bross tells you how damn good they are, you know, they didn't block anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a problem. And that's been the problem with this team, because to me, there's certain players that they've relied on or kind of hanging their hats on that have at times delivered and other times have not. And the inconsistency is why I think they're 3-2 right now. You know, I think if they got into that game the other day, and I'm not saying just score on the first drive, but if it was an even game or a close game, okay, yeah, maybe Aaron Rodgers wins it at the end. But you also are in a situation where you could have run the football. You know, they got to a point where they're down 17-0, and now all bets are off. It played out perfectly for Green Bay. They didn't have to worry about run defense. You know, they just had to worry about trying to get pass rush, and they couldn't do that in the second half. So, yeah, this team is at times it's numbing to watch, because you're like, man, they're better than that. They are better than this, because you've seen them be better than this. And I'm not just saying because the first 3 weeks of the season, but you definitely gave away a big opportunity in New Orleans. That was a big, big loss right there to me. Because what's going to happen now is we got teams that are playoff teams, the Saints, Packers. You're going to have to go to those places unless something changes. Yeah. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing. That, you know, okay, now you got to go play at that place in New Orleans again. Oh, wait, you got to maybe go to Lambeau Field. Well, trust me, I lived 5 years of my life up there. It gets a little chilly.
You don't want to play that game.
No, you don't want to play that game.
Dez caught it.
Yeah, so weird things happen. But, yeah, I think it's really – you know, I wish this that, you know, Sean and RJ in the morning, I listened to them going in, and they like to talk about the underachieving team. I didn't hear any questions to Jerry Jones about being underachieving. You know, do you feel like this is an underachieving team, Jerry? You built this team.
Yeah.
You feel like they're underachieving?
What do you think he'd say?
I think he would say yes, but I think we're afraid to ask questions sometimes. You know, I'm afraid that, you know, when you have an opportunity, go ahead. If that's what your show is going to be, hey, you know, those guys could be hardcore. Sean could be really hardcore. Just wish that, you know, he would have gone after Jerry a little bit more and said, you know, hey, you know, this team, is this a championship team in your eyes? You know, do you feel like you built a championship team? Do you feel like they're underachieving?
And when you look at the roster then, do you look at it and say, I would like to add –
yeah, and your question was about trading. Yeah.
Well, and
I went off this whole big thing, but yeah, I think that to me, I don't see them trading a high asset for a defensive tackle or safety for that matter. Like I told you, they had an opportunity to get both. They felt like they got the right guy in Tristan Hill. Yeah, you know, we got to give him an opportunity.
He needs to get stronger.
You hope. If not, then we're going to be down that path again of like, you know, hey, maybe they, you know, scheme-wise, maybe they should find a way to add a 320-pound defensive tackle. You know, maybe, but that's just not the way this group plays. They don't play this way. They attack gaps, and when you attack gaps, you get washed. And when you don't fit on the backside when you're attacking gaps, attack the gap with linebacker, fill the gaps, then you're gonna have run fit problems.
Well, what's crazy is watching Tyrone Crawford play. And how he bullies, he'll just push a guy backwards.
Yeah.
And nobody else, I mean, nobody next to him can do that.
Well, that's why with Quinn now playing as the right end, and initially when Quinn was brought here on the trade, I was thinking that, okay, Quinn is not going to be the starter. It's going to be Crawford's going to start, and Quinn's going to come off the bench. Well, they feel like, well, okay, we can play with Crawford. I mean, Schoon, we can play with Quinn. It's fine. So maybe that'll allow them a little bit more flexibility to play, you know, Crawford inside. Now, he's banged up. He's a banged up player, but, man, he gives you everything he has.
Yeah, he does.
But is he limited? Yeah. But you can count on him to play hard and not get washed out of there.
Yeah, he looks like he was winning most of the time.
Well, him and then, you know, too, with Christian Covington is another one. Christian Covington was brought here to play 20, 25 plays, not 51 plays 1 week and 53 the next. That wasn't the plan, but because of injury, he has to play. So, yeah, are there things that, you know, maybe Brian brought us, again, third person talking here, over-evaluated his team. You know, maybe I'm the guy that you need to look at and say, wow, well, why'd you think that?
Is Antoine Woods, when he comes back, if he's healthy, is that a fix? And you say, my team's fine.
It's a help. Okay. It's a help because what you do now is you split those reps between him and Christian Covington. Covington doesn't have to play 51 snaps now. He plays 20 snaps. And then the human log plays the other 35 or, 40 snaps. That's what you got to hope for right there. But could he help? Absolutely. But this team is capable of playing good run defense. It's very capable of. Just haven't. That's a problem.
One of the reasons why I'm not entirely sure if I feel like you over-evaluated this team is because you said some of the players you were depending on just haven't shown up for one reason or another, which kind of leads to this question, and I know part of the answer is double teams, but from the 254, where is Tank?
See, that's because they know Tank makes $25 million.
Exactly.
See, this is what's known as in our area in the DFW, it's known as the Chan Ho Park syndrome.
I can see that.
Because we all know how much money Chan Ho Park made.
Yep.
Oh, is it $25 million pitcher? Why isn't this guy winning more games?
He should be striking everybody out.
Yeah, why is he not throwing a no-hitter tonight? You know, we all know
and
that.
You already see that seep into Dak, and it hadn't even happened yet.
Oh, no, exactly. He's not a $30 million quarterback.
Okay, he makes $2 million.
That's exactly what I'm saying, though. And I'm not trying to get on Joe and Flower Mound, but I'm just trying to say you need to evaluate where you're at. It's that low-hanging fruit. The guy makes too much damn money. Why is he not making plays? You know, that's I get that all the time on Twitter, DallasCowboys.com.
Sure.
You know, well, maybe if you evaluate the fact that they've got three guys blocking him today, you know, and I'm not defending Tank because Tank, he plays hard. He really does. But for what he has to go up against a lot of these times, they know he's their best pass rusher. He knows that he's their best defensive player. Just sit down and kind of evaluate it a little bit.
Now, on the other side of the trenches, we kind of made some allusions to the offensive line, but not one particular...
Terrible against the Saints.
Yeah, and I was going to say, what is your balance of they haven't been playing well versus the injuries are mounting and some of these players are getting older in terms of, concern for the offensive line?
Yeah, it's Tyron Smith was a freak injury. Yeah, I mean, the back and say, yeah, you worry about the back. I worry about him going on these road trips and waking up and someone calling me and say, hey, Broadus, by the way, Tyron Smith's not going to play today. What?
Slept funny in his bed.
What? Yeah. Oh, he got on the airplane, the back. Zach Martin, Collins. Yeah. I mean, those are all things in your mind. You're going, it could happen at any moment. But you know what? When this group is on, I so wish that they would have gotten some stops in that game the other day because I wanted to see them run the ball against Green Bay and be effective and block and do what they had to do.
Man, the pocket was clean on that first drive.
Yeah.
And Zeke had a 12-yard gash.
And you're playing with Cam Fleming at left tackle.
Right.
You know, think about that. So, yeah, Will McClay, those guys, I think Will fights a battle there every day. I think Will wants to, Will wants a physical team. Jerry and Steven want a physical team, but there's some scheme restrictions that they have for their personnel, and they fight that, And, hey, the good soldiers will march on and say, yes, sir, whatever we have to do, we'll do, And the other ones will say, okay, I told you so, but, I say Will's one of those guys that keeps his head down and keeps going. He's going to try and build this football team and protect. Look at the trade they made for Robert Quinn. He didn't think they were going to be able to sign Tank Lawrence. All of a sudden, they had signed Tank Lawrence, and now they got a legitimate pass rusher on the right side with some juice.
When they made the Amari trade?
That was crazy.
Did they talk to him and say, what do you think? Yeah. Is that a conversation they have with him?
The conversation they had is like, hey, listen here, dumb A's. We tried to go with receiver by committee. How stupid are we? They rolled out their receiver by committee, and they're like, well, we've got to stop. This has got to stop. Now, I've been with Jerry Jones. We had in first-round picks. That is the most agonizing sitting in a draft room when it gets, that first round's going on, and you had about, two turkey sandwiches, a couple of Diet Pepsis, no pick yet. Jerry's over there just grinding. He's drawing on his pad. He's just, it's like a playing hangman over there, And you're just going, gosh, we traded away his pick.
Look how sad he is.
Not sad. Pissed.
Oh, okay.
Pissed at you for even suggesting it. But they realized the mistake. They really did. They realized that, hey, you know what? It's stupid. Receiver by committee, this is stupid.
So get a guy that can win.
Go get a guy that can win. That's what you got to do. That was a ballsy trade they made, by the way. It really was. You've got to find a general manager and a coach that's new, or, because they tend to get rid of people.
Yep.
And they did. They found it. They found one. They found a new GM and a new coach for Oakland and were able to kind of take advantage of that.
The KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Keep sending in those questions. We've got Broadus all hour long. And this next question might be near and dear to his heart. Will the Cowboys fire Jason Garrett to get ahead of the coaching rush? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.